Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host Barbara with me. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am. Hi, Johnny.
How are you?
Hi, everybody. Oh, I'm great. I just thought this is an important topic, so we need to go over it since you and I were speaking about fight, flight, or freeze. And you and I both have faced this head on, and we both can talk about what happened and that we can understand it. So what do you have to say on the topic? I'll go first with my story, but what do you think about what's going on with the four killings, the murders of the college students in Idaho? By the way, very close to where I was born in Spokane, Washington. Mm-hmm. In fact, they did do the autopsies in Spokane, Washington. So I know all about that area, the WSU where he went, the alleged killer went to or was going to college, Washington State University. I have a lot of family alumni there. This is cutting really close to home. But I was thinking, you know, now the new news is coming out that one of the roommates was spared, or two of them were, but one did see the killer who passed right by her. She says she froze. People are wondering why. Okay, not why did she freeze, but after that, she didn't call the police until 8 hours afterwards. I'm thinking she froze. And for many hours, she was basically frozen after she locked herself in the room. She probably didn't even make a move. She probably didn't even wake her other roommate up, who was, I think, in the same room. I'm not sure about that. But did you watch anything about this whole thing going on right now, Johnny? Have you been following this?
No, but I understand what you're talking about. There's a sense of sort of like she froze, but she couldn't do anything. She couldn't move, you know?
She didn't know what to do, and maybe she doesn't even remember. And I'll tell you my story about what I did, and in a minute say that when she did call the police, she called 911, and she reported an unconscious person in the home. People are saying, well, why? I mean, it was a bloodbath. It was a very gory stabbing scene of four people. Why would she say that? I'm thinking that she probably peeked around and just saw maybe somebody laying on the floor, maybe only saw maybe their hand where she was peeking around, or their arm, or just them laying there. She didn't see any blood. That's probably why. I'm assuming she was just too afraid to enter. But, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad that that guy didn't re-enter, because he came back at 9 a.m. before she even called the police. He came back hours later, and they saw that he had cell service near the area, so he had been back again. He could have gone back in and gotten her. It is upsetting that she didn't call 911 right away and that she froze, but I understand it. And I can go on with my story now, if you would like.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Sorry, everybody. I have birds, as you know. And for some reason, when I talk, they get excited. They like me. So I'm going to cover them up right now, and hopefully they will then calm down so you can hear me. But I love my birds, and it is a proven fact that sound of a bird chirping and singing actually brings a person comfort and helps with anxiety. So I just found that out. Okay, I'm ready. All right.
Great.
Well, here's my story. I was young in high school, but a senior in high school, so probably around 17. I could have already been graduated and looking for my flight attendant job at the time. So I possibly was 18, but around 17 to 18 years old. And my dad, for my senior year, we were living with my dad and his girlfriend. who was a very nice lady. I thought she was a fine, nice lady. And so there were many mornings where I knew my dad wasn't going to be home because he was a pilot and he'd be on trips, 2-3-4 day trips at times. Sometimes he would come home early. You know how a pilot's schedule, you can only imagine what that's like. So it's always different. Well, one morning, it was the weekend, I was sleeping in and I'm in my room, which is across from the bathroom, and I'm in my bed and I hear a man's voice, and it was not my dad's voice, and it was in the shower with the girlfriend, and they were like giggling and talking and chattering it up, and I literally froze. I froze under the covers, and I turned my head away from the door, and I just was like under the covers, not my whole head, but then I hear my door knob turn, and I hear my door slowly crack open, and I could only imagine it was her peeking in to see, make sure that, you know, Barbara wasn't home and all, you know. Well, then she realized I was home. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I heard, like, hushing whispers and da-da-da, you got to hurry up and get out of here. I heard all that. But my point is I didn't turn around and look at her. I didn't get up. I didn't say anything. I literally froze, and for hours, I don't even know what happened afterwards because I was traumatized. That, to me, was trauma, and I froze. Okay, so I wasn't even thinking my life was in danger, but I'm freezing because it was such a awkward, horrible situation that this girlfriend had another man. They were taking a shower together in my home when my dad, who I loved so much, was out at work. This was going on. To me, that was traumatic, and I didn't know what to do.
Did he ever find out?
Yes, but I didn't even tell him for years later. And I realized I didn't have to tell him because he already had keen plans to leave because he thought that, well, no, he came home early. He came home early one day from another trip when I wasn't there and told me this whole story about how when he pulled up, he did see a man crawling out of their bedroom window. So he went in the house calmly and he got his shotgun out. It was all wrapped up in paper. He took it out, undid it, not hastily, and went outside and pointed at that guy who was running down the road, yelled at him. He kept running. That's it. And then my dad went, the guy did see that there was a shotgun pointed at him, which made him run even faster. Well, my dad went back in the home. And he wrapped it up, put it back up where it was safely. And then there was 5 cop cars in our front lawn about a couple of minutes after that. Kibbley worked it out to where my dad, everybody was just going to move out and leave her there. So I didn't feel like there was a reason to tell him, but I told him years later, and I said, Dad, this made me really freeze up. I didn't know what to do. I froze. I was young. It was traumatizing. I just was too young, I felt like, to handle it. But there is training for that kind of thing. When you become a professional where you are in a situation where you're having to take care of people's lives, like what I got afterwards, which was being a flight attendant, I'm responsible for the passenger's safety. I can't freeze. But that's training, and you're trained in all of, if this happens, you're going to do this. And this, that, and the other, so you're prepared. So I think when your mind is not prepared for something traumatic and you are very young and nothing like that's happened before, well, usually you do freeze. And I'm thinking it is a defense mechanism because maybe if that girl didn't freeze, if she did fight, she would have been dead right now. They're thinking he just was so focused on getting out of there, thinking her alone. Because if he knew she was there, he walked right by her. If she would have flinched or moved, maybe the freezing, because it was dark, maybe her freezing is what saved her life. So that's why I wanted to do a show about it. For everybody who's listening, to not be hard on that nice college girl.
Right.
She was very traumatized. This happened. It's a defense mechanism. I understand even that how many hours went by before she called, because she was literally frozen, everybody. You freeze. Well, she did shut the door and lock it, and I guess then she froze again. I think all these little details we'll find out, but it's quite interesting. And now it's your turn, Johnny, to tell your story.
Well, what happened to me was I was about, I think, 6 years old. And what happened was that I was born with cross eyes. And because I was born with cross eyes, I had to have eye surgery to fix my eyes. And so what happened was there was this big kid, you know, that really didn't, was pushing me around, you know. And he cornered me in the bathroom, and I was wearing an eye patch. He tore my eye patch off and hit me.
Oh, no.
And
was he the same age?
Yeah, he was around the same age. Well, you know, my family heard about it. They weren't happy. The school was very embarrassed. But what happened was after that, I started freezing when something would happen, you know, like I was out of control. I was out of control over what I could, you know. And what would happen is whenever something stressful would happen, I wouldn't move. I would
give
just
us an
there.
Example.
It was like I would talk to the teacher, and the teacher would be like, "Do you want me to go sit over there?" And she would say yes, but then I wouldn't move. You know, my legs wouldn't move.
Really?
I wouldn't.
Literally frozen, right?
Yeah,
like,
I couldn't
ask
to go
move.
To the bathroom. I would wet myself. I mean, it was just one of those things. And, you know, it's like I never talked to people. I would always, you know, I would, oh boy, you know. And, I mean, it got better as I got older, you know, of course. But you know, it was such a elementary school, especially the elementary school level, was a really, really hard level for me. Because that was when I had cerebral palsy, but I hadn't really grown yet, you know.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't really developed it. I was a scrawny kid, and
And they picked on you?
Oh, well, I mean, it was like I had 5% body fat. You know, I was this, they tested my body fat. It was 5% when I was in seventh grade, and then it was just, I wouldn't say I was, well, I mean, everybody was picking on me, but there was also a lot of people that I was good friends with. The thing is that I would freeze, you see, like,
with something. Is there a real term for this?
I think, and I'm not saying this because I know I'm saying this is what I've heard. You see, I was dying. I think the term that my father told me that I had was called stress aphasia, I believe.
Oh.
But I'm going to look it up right now to make sure I'm not telling anybody wrong. Stress.
Okay.
Stress aphasia.
Yes.
Yeah,
you took it to the extreme. Like, you couldn't even move just for something simple, like, which wasn't that traumatic, which was saying, "Hey, can I go to the bathroom?" You still, it affected you that much, the trauma.
Well, good example of this. Sorry, go on.
Well, I just wanted to go back to the actual attack on you in the bathroom. So when he pulled off your eye patch and punched you in the face, did you freeze? Then, I mean, you just froze? Like, how long were you there standing frozen?
I remember I was there for like 20 minutes. And
really?
Yeah, it was, and it was just really sad. But the thing is that I have met people who are like this. I had this one girl that I liked that was like this. She had, it's like, do you want to hear about what happened to this girl that I liked?
Sure.
Okay. This girl that I really, really liked, and her name was Anne, and what happened was I invited her over to my house to watch a movie, okay? Well, she gets in the back of the car, okay? And what had happened was, you know, she was sitting, you know, I was sitting in the back seat, but what happened was my sister had her purse in the back seat. Okay. So I was trying to make conversation. So I said, oh, nice purse. I didn't know it was my sister's purse. Okay. But I was making conversation like, oh yeah. Oh, nice purse. Or okay. And everything. Now this conversation went on for like about 2 or 3 or 4 minutes. The thing is, Barbara, this woman was too scared, or she could not have the capacity to say, that's not my purse. She couldn't do it.
Oh, really?
She was able to, she had to sort of, I mean, it was like, you know.
I get it. Johnny, I get that too. Something came to my mind. Finish that. And that happened to me too.
Right. What happened to you?
Well, the whole family, I had a really bad traumatic 8 years growing up with a very mean stepdad. I had my nice dad I'm talking about, who I lived with my senior year for visits. But my main life was with this mean, horrible stepfather. And so I had a lot of anxiety. And I was probably 8 or 9 years old. We were coming back from the potholes, a family vacation with uncles, aunts, mostly his side of the family, which I did like. We were at a gas station, and Uncle Norm was backing up the boat to get gas, and I saw it coming, and I was the only one standing there who could see the angle that that boat was going to crunch a pole, and I could have said, hey, stop, but I froze in that instant and let him just crash into the pole. I couldn't yell out. I couldn't say stop. I froze because I just thought, well, you know, all these things go through your mind. Like, I'm just a kid. They're not going to listen. They're going to, you know, I'm going to get in trouble probably. Or, you know, it's better just to stay quiet. You know, all those little doubts enter your mind all at one time, I think. And it's trauma. And it froze me. And then, you know, I never told anybody, hey, I saw that coming. Because... Mm-hmm. Same thoughts that were in my mind. Don't talk. Don't say anything. You're just a kid, you know. But I always remember about how weird that was, where even if I wanted to yell out, I felt like I couldn't. I was literally frozen. Wow.
And this girl would also do other things, too. Like, if, you know, we'll be out somewhere, and I will talk to her, and this is what she'll do. She'll talk for a while, but then she'll start mumbling. And she'll say, well, you know, I don't know.
It just turned into mush at the end?
Yes. And honestly, you know, she would speak and say things that the shield were appropriate, but it was like, you know, it was almost like, it was like taking, you know how it sounds when somebody talks in slow motion? That's what it sounded like with her. And she, you know, it's like, okay, well, do you want this? And I'm not making fun of her. I'm just saying that's how she sounded.
So what did you do? Did you ask her?
Well, what I did was I was okay with it. I mean, you know, the thing is 95% of the time when she was over at the house, I was hugging her and rubbing her back because I didn't want her to be scared. And usually what I would do is I would let her answer me with her hands. Like, if we were out eating dinner, instead of saying, I would let her point it, what she wanted. I wouldn't force her to answer because it just, you know, she had a hard time talking. And she really had
some anxiety.
Well, it was like
she was frozen, but not totally frozen. She was halfway frozen, basically, when she would talk. It turned into a slow motion type of thing.
I mean, it would be like in retrospect, there is, you know, it does make some sense because, like, she will, she'll be talking to her, and on some occasions she can talk like a regular person. But if you ask her about something that is, like, for example, anything involving what her opinion was on something, anything involving disagreeing with something, anything involving, like, I don't like that, she couldn't do it. She would just, and then it came out like that. And it was very sad.
Maybe it has a little bit to do with feeling so you just mumble it out, kind of like how I felt. So I wasn't confident at all to yell out, stop, because of just being so suppressed with an evil stepfather, probably. You know, that affected me. It affected me in so many different ways and physically, too. I felt like my growth was stunted for a few years even. Trauma can affect people in so many strange ways. It sounds like you were a very nice boyfriend. That's so sweet of you how you treated her. And I'm hoping that she's been able to get professional help and get over it. And
I hope so too.
I
mean, because I just read what I just read about expressive aphasia, it certainly sounds like her. I mean,
tell us about what you read real quick.
Well, I mean,
done with this show, by the way.
What?
Our show is over.
The show is over?
It's a 30-minute show. It's a 30-minute show. So
I know.
Do you have time?
It's about, we have about 6 more minutes. But you know, it's almost like it's like these people, they freeze, you know. And I understand kind of a little bit about what they're talking about because it's like there's – it's like a guy comes on to you. You don't say yes and you don't say no, but your legs freeze. Now, has that ever happened to you with a guy?
Yeah, you have to practice those things because at first, when you're really young, you feel so bad to reject them that you kind of do start to mumble, I don't know. You know, it is a response. It's like a half-frozen response, really, because you don't want to say no because you're not used to it. You're not used to rejecting somebody. So, yeah, but those are things that you can work on, which is the same thing as fight or flight or freeze. It is. It's the same kind of thing in a very mild, more mild way. I think the whole point is that we understand completely, not just a little bit, about what's going on because we've experienced it. And that's what we can say is, hey, this has happened to us. We understand, but other people are judging. My point is that other people judge people who freeze, thinking, well, if that was me, I would have fought, I would have done something. You don't really know that. And you have to put yourself in their shoes, which you can't really. It's everybody's different, and it happens worse when you're young, I think. You know, because you obviously got over yours. I wanted to ask you, how did you get over your freezing up?
It was just sort of getting older and being able to logically look at things from all sides of the fence.
Exactly.
You know, for example, when you and I are talking, and I notice that whenever you're very passionate about something, your voice raises a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit. When I was younger, that would have made me freeze. Okay. But I know that you're only doing it not out of anger, but because you're passionate about something. You're going to be, you know, like, you know, and that's just, you sort of interpret not necessarily as anger, but passion. Does that make sense?
Well, yes, it makes sense that you've had life experiences where you aren't going to let somebody who is passionately speaking with their voice raised just a little bit freeze you up. That's not happening anymore because of life experiences and, like you said, getting older. And that's exactly what happened to me. But that had to happen fast, though. And it happens with training, because the job I got was right after that for flight attendant. And I felt so confident that I would have fought. I mean, if anything happened, I would have been the one to rescue every single one of those passengers before myself and crew. I knew that in my mind, soul, heart, and body. But that's because I was really trained for a few months with all of that. So, hey, everybody, this can be fixed. The point we're trying to make is don't judge. And right. We understand, and I know it's rare, because some people have never, Johnny, they've never been faced with trauma head on like that, where they had to make a split decision on reacting. Mm-hmm. And some people have never faced that. They haven't. Many people haven't. And good for them, because it's not fun, right?
That's right.
And but our surroundings or our mental capacity at the time, all kinds of things go into it. And thanks for looking up that, what is it called?
I believe it's called expressive aphasia. That's what it's called.
Expressive aphasia. So interesting. So I'm going to be looking that up more, but I love this topic because it brings awareness to people. I just thought, I have to do a show, because I know this girl is getting judged so much by not doing anything, by just being frozen their minds a little bit and be understanding to her. All right, Johnny, thank you for your story.
Okay. Well, good night.
Yeah.
Barbara.
Oh, I wanted to tell everybody while we have a second left that Johnny and I, we have a Life, Laughter, Happiness Facebook page that is going really well, where we post our recent shows that we really like, which are most of them, right? And just different things that I find interesting. I will share there some different kind of YouTube videos, some cooking, some this lifestyle, some sports. I'm a Seahawks fan. And I think you should start posting there more often, too, on our Life, Laughter, Happiness page. We also have a group, and the group is made private. It will always be private. This is our private group, so people can share private things that have happened in their life, and it won't go past our small group of a little over 300 people. And so just follow us there and everywhere else. But those two things are really fun right now. And don't forget to subscribe and follow us here at Life, Laughter, Happiness on Blog Talk Radio, because we would love to read some of your comments and hear your stories on our topics. So thanks, everybody. And thank you, Johnny. Have a wonderful day. Night.
Right.
Have a wonderful night. All right. Good night, everybody.
Okay.
During uncertain times, gold and silver bullion have consistently maintained the financial stability we need. For over 50 years, Coin and Bullion Reserves has served Northwest Florida as your regional choice to protect your future with the peace of mind that hard assets such as gold and silver bullion provide. The fluctuations of the stock market and concern over inflation often lead investors towards safe haven assets like precious metals. If you're concerned about the future of the economy, Coin and Bullion Reserves is here to provide you with the security you need. Come and speak with one of our numismatists so we can help you protect your future.
Switch to Extreme Internet and save. Call today to lock in a low price and get a $100 credit with any internet package. Get download speed options from 100 meg up to 1 gig and power every room with whole home Wi-Fi 360 Pro. Don't let your $100 credit slip away. Call 844-4FASTER or visit extreme.com today. Offer available to new customers only. Download speeds may vary and subject to a monthly downstream usage allowance. Bill credit of $100 will be credited to your bill evenly over 4 months beginning 30 days after installation.